Okay, fine. So, Bahar Bechukotai.
No.
No. It's another double parsha. No. So, Chaim, I don't know if this makes you happy or not happy. Yes, it's double parsha. It's a pretty short double parsha. Don't worry. The next three parshiot are longer, even though they're single parshiot. Because Bamidbar is 159 psukim. Nasa is 176 psukim. Yeah. Balot, which is, I think, 136. What? Shlach. Shlach. But Nasa was very long by itself. Bamidbar was a very long bar mitzvah parsha. I'll tell you. It was very long. Right? I had Bamidbar, and a friend of mine had Nasa. Both of those took a very long time. Yes. Bahar Bechukotai, Nasa. Bahar is like 57 psukim or something like that, and Bechukotai is like 78, give or take. I don't know. Something like that.
Nasa is long, but you get this card for getting the longest one. It's not that hard.
Exactly. Okay, fine. But Bahar opens with Shemitah, which is something I've been thinking about a lot these days, because, you know, Shemitah is starting in just a few months, and therefore, and we're learning it next year. Yes. I tried for this year. It didn't work, but I got next year, and therefore I've already started learning my Chavrusa, so it's on my mind. So we're going to talk about Shemitah. So I want to share Nagadata, and this is right Price's analysis, but I like it a lot, especially with talking about Shemitah, Nagadata, Parsha, everything that I like all together. And it's a weird Nagadata, so Matov. Okay? Here's this very odd Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar le'ahumina l'Rebbe Abo. A certain heretic said to Rebbe Abo, Elokeichem gachachanhu. Your God is a jester. D'ka'amar le'yechezkel shchav al sitcha hasmali. Because he told Yechezkel, lie on your left side, uktiv v'shachav tal sitcha yemani, and then later he told him to lie on his right side. Great. Atahu Talmida Amarle, and while he was talking to him, this heretic was talking to Rabbi Avo, one of Rabbi Avo's students came to him and he said, My Taima Dishviata, what is the rationale for the mitzvah of Shemitah? Weird yet? Don't worry, it's going to get worse. Amarle, so he said to them, or really to him, but to both of them, Hashta amina l'chumilta d'shavya l'travayhu. I will give you an answer that will answer both of your questions. Okay? Let's review, right? Heretic's question, which is, God is a jester because he tells Yechezkel to line his left side and then his right side, from Talmud who comes and says, please explain Shemitah to me. And Rabbi Avo says, aha! I have an answer that answers both of those very similar questions. Answer. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God told the Jewish people, Zir'u Sheish V'Hishmitu Sheva. Plant, Sha'aret Shalihu. Plant for 6 years, rest on the seventh, Kadesh Adedu Sha'aret Shalihu. So that you know that the land is mined. V'hein lo asu kein. But they didn't do that. Elechatu V'galu. Rather they sinned and went into Galut. And Minhago Shalolam. Melech vadar vasar vadam shesarcha alav medina, im achzarihu horeged kulan, im arachamanu horeg chetziam. And human kings, if a country rebels against them, so if he's cruel, he kills them all. And if he's merciful, he only kills half of them. Im rachaman mole rachamim hu, and if he's really merciful, right, mi aserag dolim shebehen bi yisurin, then he only does symbolic punishment on the greatest ones. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miaser Et Yechezkel, so too God punishes Yechezkel, Kedei L'Marek Avonotehem Shel Yisrael. How are you doing? Answered? Understood? Clear? Right? Yes. Fascinatingly, right? Fascinating, I got it, which is obviously... Right, so... Yeah, you look at this and you're like, "What? I don't know what he's saying. I don't know how their questions are similar. I don't know how they answer the question. I have no idea what's going on."
I'm assuming it's some cause-and-effect linkage of Shemitah to then...
Well, look, the only connection to Shemitah is that Yechezkel is punished to atone for the Jews having worked during Shemitah. That's the only seeming connection, but... I mean, okay, great. So So here's what Right Price does with it, which I think is very, very clever. So first of all, you could look at this story, right? Let's break it down. You could look at this story and say that the heretic is like the paradigm of, you know, wrong-headed spirituality, evil, take your pick. But the Talmud, right, that's probably how you understand him in. But what about the Talmud? So you could think, you could look at this and say, oh, the Talmud, like, he represents good Torah, from kite. I don't know, right? He's right. You would, except the Agadita hints that that's not really the case. Right? Why does the Agadita hint that that's not the case? It's not just that he's coming with them in. But it's somehow, in a way that we don't understand, Rabbi Avo, right? Rabbi Avo sees that they're asking two sides of the same question, right? Meaning, right, that seems to be Rabbi Avo's thing, because he can answer them with the same answer, whatever the heck that answer is supposed to mean, right? So based on that, right, Price argues that this is not, right, that's not, the Talmud here is not a rabbi, right? He's not, meaning he's not representative of the correct view, right? Rather, what he argues is that what the Agadita is trying to set up are two diametrically opposed views, both of which are extremes, and the truth is in the middle, right? And structurally, when you have this conflict between the Talmud and the Min, and Rabbi Avo says, I have an answer that answers both of you, right? Just structurally, what it's trying to do is highlight there's like the extreme heretical view, and then there's like the right, overly frum view, both of which are wrong, right? And the truth is somewhere, right, is somewhere in the middle. So with that in mind, he says, okay, so how do we read this Agadita, right, to get to this answer? So this is his argument. Again, I think you could argue, but I think it's a clever read. So the Min, right, what is he basically, right, what does he represent here? What is the vision that he's representing here? He says, God is ridiculous. God is a jester. Why is God a jester? Yeah, like he says, line your right side, line your left side. Okay, what does that leave you with? What does that leave you with? So he said, well, what that leaves you with, right, if you think God, what God says doesn't make sense, and what you're left with is that the only thing that matters is what human beings do and what human beings want. Meaning if God doesn't make sense, right, then this is ridiculous, right? Then we shouldn't listen to God. We should just do whatever we want. The world comes down to human beings, because if God doesn't make sense, right, then the only way to make the world make sense is for us to contribute, right? Now, he has an added layer here, which is, this is a very, very nuanced read of the Agadita. Well, I think you could quibble, but he says that it's not just, you should take him seriously, that his critique is not just that God is a jester, but that God tells him, lie down this way, lie down that way. So Price suggests that this is symbolic, that basically God is telling us to be passive in this way and that way, right, to just lie down and sort of let it happen to us, right? But that's crazy. What he's saying makes no sense, right? Like, I'm going to rebel. The only thing that is meaningful in life is what I choose to do. I'm not listening to anyone who tells me not to act, not to contribute. I'm doing whatever I want, right? Because this makes no sense. If that's the case, so he says, then what is the Talmud saying? So you could have thought that he was asking, why is there Shemitah just sort of generically? But Rabbi Price suggests, no, in order for this to be the opposite of the Min, what he has to be asking is not, why is there Shemitah? But he's medayagid from the Agadita as follows. What's his answer? Right? Rabbi Avo says the answer is God said work for six and don't work on the seventh. So what he argues is that the Min isn't asking why is there ever a year of rest. He's asking the opposite question, which is what? The student. Why is there ever a time of work? Meaning the opposite vision is if the world belongs to God, right, the Torah says Shabbat, the meaning of Shemitah is Shabbat LaHashem, that the land is God's, and he'll bless you in the sixth year, and he'll give you enough to last six, seventh, and eighth. But doesn't that already reveal that God isn't bounded by the laws of nature? So why do we work for six and only rest in the seventh, right? Why don't we adopt a Yom Shekulo Shabbat or a Shana Shekulo Shemitah? Why don't we go to the opposite extreme and just say, forget this whole thing? So Rabbi Avoh says, let me give you an answer that answers both of you, which tells you that neither extreme is right. Neither the one that says, I do whatever I want, God's not part of the story, nor the one that says, well, if God is part of the story, then why do I bother contributing to the world at all? Answer, the key to Shemitah is a 6-in-1, meaning God wants you to work. Ziru sheish, right? He's reading this very carefully. The answer is ziru sheish vashmitu sheva kideisha deidu sha'aret shalihi. The key to Shemitah is that, no, God wants us to work. God wants human effort. The point of Shemitah isn't to tell you that God, we don't need to put in effort because God will take care of it, but rather as we need periodic reminders that even when we're working, God is behind the scenes. And therefore, what he says is what this conversation is vision one of the world. God's contribution is ridiculous, is pointless, we're on our own. The only thing that matters is human effort. Vision two of the world is all that matters is God. Let's just learn Torah all day and let God take care of our needs. And Rabbi Avoh says, you both got it wrong. The way the world is supposed to work is in a hybrid, where you work, you put in human effort, and God blesses that, right? And periodically you stop to remember that God is behind even what seems to be natural, right? And then he continues with the Yechezkel, and he says, well, look exactly, right? Then the Yechezkel answer is, well, think about it, right? Basically, you see this in the way that God treats Yechezkel, right? Which is, a human king is capricious, right? Right? He's capricious. There is, right? He kills everyone. He kills half the people. God says, look, you did something wrong, right? Like, you did something wrong, but, right, I can create, like, a compromise, a hybrid. I will punish you. There has to be some sort of recognition. But, like, the leaders, right, maybe they'll take that on themselves, right? Meaning, and you could go in different directions in this, but, right, either you just say it's a hybrid or you say no. Like, God has, like, an educational philosophy for the world. He doesn't just punish randomly. So he'll get Yechezkel, and Yechezkel will teach you, right? And he'll punish, and he'll be a symbol, which will teach you the truth, right? Symbolic punishment plus Musar, right? Meaning there is, right, the way God treats the world is not just, I'm angry, I want to punish. It's this attempt to actually shape the way you think. And sometimes that can be accomplished through symbolism, right? A symbolic punishment rather than just an expression of anger or the like. And that's what he argues is going on in this Agadata, right? That you have these two worldviews, right? And the response is hybrid, right? It's neither all or nothing. Lahavdil, right? And I'll just end with this since it was Lagomer, right? Meaning he doesn't quote both Gemaras, he quotes one. But this is the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Reb Yochanan, right? Reb Shmuel Gemara. Right, which is the right thing to do to work, right, or to rely on God, or right, where you have that machlokes, and the answer is it doesn't really work to, right, not work at all. You have to work, and then learn, and God blesses, etc. But he says, or sorry, Rabbi Price does connect it though to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave, right, where he says that this same dynamic is in that story, where. Right, you have Reb Shimon Bar Yochai at the beginning, right, which basically criticizes Rome for being, right, completely materialist and et cetera, right? They only do it for themselves. Shimon Bar Yochai is therefore ends up in the cave, and then he comes out and he burns everything with his eyes, right? When he sees people working, because he can't handle why are people working, right? So Rabbi Price says he doesn't mean literally he's burning it. It means that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai comes out of the cave. He's lived 12 years at this extreme where he depends entirely on God, and now he's educating people in this extremist philosophy. And God, the Bazkal, comes out and says, why are you destroying the world? I mean, that's life in the cave. But if you bring that extremist ideology that you just rely on miracles into the world will collapse. Right? Go back. Right? You want to live in extremist ideology, you can't live in the world. The world doesn't function that way. Right, there needs to be a hybrid. So he goes back in, and then when he comes out, what does he see? Right, suddenly he appreciates people working, and he sees someone who's doing mundane acts, But what is he doing? He's getting flowers for Shabbos. And he says, well, it's the same thing, right? Shabbos is the exact same thing, where the fact that God doesn't say that the world is Yom Shekul or Shabbos, but rather says Shabbos is every seventh day, is the same ideology. Is, yes, you work, and as long as come Shabbos you recognize that it has to be balanced, that God is still part of the picture, then work is sanctified, then work is elevated, then work is what God wants in this world. So Shimon Bar Yochai first burns the world with this extremist ideology, but then he comes out and learns to appreciate the Balabayit, who says, who's a Balabayit during the week, right? But then, come Shabbos, suddenly is enthused by this idea that I should be Mechabed Shabbat for Hashem, right? That hybrid comes down with Shimon Bar Yochai because it presents this alternate model. Right, so that's what he argues is going on in this Agadata, and therefore the key for him to Shabbat, to Shemitah, right, is not just the rest on the seventh day, but is the work for 6 years and rest on the seventh, which reminds you of the fact that God is really behind the whole thing, and that what he wants is this hybrid of human input with recognition of God and God's blessing and the like. And that's the key theology behind Shemitah and behind Shabbat. Okay?